760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We are the Catholic Dream Team.
Again. I love it.
Once again.
The Three Musketeers are back.
I love that. I feel like we really are the Three Musketeers.
We missed you yesterday, Allison.
We did miss you.
Oh, guys, I missed you all too, but I am truly trying to realize how to take time off.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard for me. I feel like I'm always thinking about work and all these different things during vacation time. So I needed some rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
And I surely was resting and relaxing.
I know. I find myself like sitting in adoration and then my mind goes, I'm thinking about work. You know, it's like, wait
and
a
your
minute.
Work pertains to the faith. But
right.
Still, it's hard sometimes to wind down and mm-hmm. remove ourselves from life, right? Just mm-hmm. to relax.
Well, we're glad you're back because you bring the best out of
all
of us.
You this just make yeah. me blush. Oh,
yeah, we can't have the studio be a man cave.
you need a female here to bring joy to, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
And speaking of joy, it's your prayer day, Allison. What do you got lined up for us?
Well, you know what? We're in Advent, so I have mm-hmm. a beautiful prayer for the journey toward Christ. That's what we're mm-hmm. on. So, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we rise to greet this new day, we enter more deeply into the season of Advent, the sacred time of waiting, longing, and joyful hope. Open our hearts to receive your light in the places still shadowed by worry, distraction, or weariness. Lord Jesus, you are the promise the world waited for. The Word made flesh who dwells among us, stir in us a renewed desire to seek you above all things. Help us to prepare room in our hearts, our homes, and our lives for your coming, both at Christmas and each moment you knock gently at the door of our souls. Holy Spirit, kindle in us a spirit of watchfulness and wonder. Strengthen our hope, deepen our trust, and guide our steps so everything we do today reflects the love of Christ to those we meet. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen. And we are in the season of Advent. It's so special. I had something special I got to do yesterday. A dear friend who, so holy, so wonderful. A bunch of us are getting together and sponsoring a family for Christmas.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Cool. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What's that involve?
It's through Walking with Moms in Need.
Oh.
And that's the, mm-hmm. the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops initiative to help mothers yeah. who need assistance, especially, you know, if they've come out of a crisis pregnancy and they've chosen life, praise God, you know, mm-hmm. to not just be pro-birth, but pro-life.
Absolutely.
Walk with them in that journey. And so one of the Walking with Moms in Need ministries is doing sponsorships for families and mothers. So we have a family, and it just lists all the children. You get them, each one gets one outfit and two gifts, and then you get something for the mother as well, and
nice.
Like a family gift as well. So yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to, you know, serve and really step into the spirit of generosity this Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we met up with a friend, and she so generously got like three different gifts for this one kid, and we, you know, she's wrapping them, and it was just really cool to, you know, begin that process. And I have this little wish list for the family, and I think I snuck one of my own wishes in there, you know.
Oh no!
It's like, you know, Huffy bike, Berenstain Bears, and iPad. Like, what iPad? I don't know. The 6-year-old needs an iPad. What's this about?
I love it, Huffy.
Yeah.
I had a Huffy bike, a pink one, years ago when I was younger.
Yeah.
What memories.
Oh, it's nice.
And the Berenstain Bears. Oh, you're really dating yourself.
Why does a 6-year-old need his student loans paid? What's going on here?
In advance.
In advance. So maybe that's the call to action, though, right? It's, you know, the catechism says that almsgiving is a work of justice pleasing to God. That's mm-hmm. Paragraph 2462. And so anyway, maybe that's something we can step into this season. How was your trip? Was it special, Allison?
Oh, my gosh. No, it was wonderful. So Thanksgiving was marvelous. I was with my parents and my sisters, actually three of the actually, one of them was not there. She was in Savannah. But we were going through old photos mm-hmm. when we were younger. And guys, the memories that were coming back were priceless.
That's awesome.
Priceless.
Probably a lot of laughs, a lot
of... Oh my gosh, yes.
Good feelings.
I was telling you, Dave, before the show, you know, there was a picture of Michael Bolton. I think we saw a concert with him years ago or something. I started playing Michael Bolton music. We're singing That's out loud. My brother-in-law, after we kept repeating certain songs, is like, you know what? There's other music during that time period that's really good. So he changed the playlist. But just had a great time with the family. It was amazing. And then my sister-in-law, she's been taking the kids and I to a Reynolds Plantation. Each year, we go overnight and have a blast. It's so beautiful and relaxing out there. So got back from there yesterday. It was amazing,
cool.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Yes, I had a great time. I did miss you guys, but I did have a great time.
Praise God. Well, you earned it.
Yes.
Thanks, Josh.
Just don't do it again.
I'll try not to.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Linda Dyson joins us once again discussing the six needs of grieving. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Amandus. Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, reflects on today's gospel. And Eric Alexander, music director at St. Brendan the Navigator, talks about Messiah Sing, an Advent sing-along at St. Brendan's taking place December 5th, 7:30 p.m.
You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, and happy Advent.
I can't believe it's already here. Time has flown.
And Josh is older.
Yes. Got my life alert bracelet on, Father, just in case this interview goes south.
Oh, Josh.
Well, this gospel for Advent is taken from Luke 10:21-24. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise mm-hmm. and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise. So I think it's very apropos, this text so early on in Advent, about being childlike, mm-hmm. and that God reveals to the childlike himself. And then Advent is preparing to receive the child, Wonder Counselor, Prince of Peace. You know, I just love that passage, people. I think it's Isaiah chapter 9. But the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Mm-hmm. And those who lived in a land of shadows, a light has shone. And the child comes in all humility. And that's what God is yearning from our hearts, to be humble, mm-hmm. to allow him to be our God. You see, he can't force himself for us to accept him. Mm-hmm. We have to choose to accept him. And so a child doesn't put up those type of roadblocks. It's the child is so welcoming.
Yeah.
And Father, such has been your gracious will. It is the will of God that the childlike get to understand, you know, the Jesus, understand his message. What do you think about Josh? What do you think about that?
I mean, this is incredible. The fact that it's like you get this Trinitarian snapshot, mm-hmm. right? Where it's you're mm-hmm. seeing the Son rejoicing in the Spirit and praising the Father. I mean, this truly is like a holy communion or divine communion. And the most explicit sense. Yeah, I think also the wise and the learned, don't get me wrong, you're a wise and learned man, and I am very grateful for that and your insights. But at the same time, Father, I notice like there is a joy in within you, like mm-hmm. that kind of childlike jubilance that I think is only palpable in someone who truly has an intimacy with Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a reminder of what he's calling us to. That you know, like he says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son. And I mean, I think about later in the gospel talking to Thomas, right? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
You know, in this last paragraph, it seems like, gosh, we're being gypped. You know, blessed are the eyes that see what you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, many prophets and kings, Moses himself wanted to see, but he got to see Jesus. And that was at the Transfiguration. Mm. It was Moses and Elijah. You know, they spoke to Jesus about his imminent exodus. Mm. And then Jesus as well said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen.
Mm.
You know, he said that to Thomas precisely. So the being able to see God, we see him through faith. And there is a really... I forget the name of the author, but the book, I think it's titled Believing is Seeing.
Oh, wow.
And it was an atheist, a Harvard teacher, a professor. I'm not sure if he was an engineer, or I think it was, but he came to faith because we see with faith.
Wow.
You can't be a physicist, you can't be an engineer without faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you see laws? You don't see them, you mm-hmm. see the effects. So all sciences, that type of thing, physics, predicated upon faith and laws that you can't see.
And a lot of times we realize the invisible realities are the most powerful realities. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about gravity.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Can't prove it. It's just, it's there.
So, Father, what is a good takeaway for today's gospel?
Well, I think a good takeaway is not to take ourselves so seriously.
Mm. Those are good words to hear, Father. Truly they are.
Yeah. You know, just laugh a little bit, a lot, you know, not laugh with.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, and then go to Josh's comic shows or something, you know, comedy shows, and that comic comedy shows.
Every moment, every morning is that here in the studio with me.
Yeah, some giggles and laughs, you know. But I think that not take ourselves so seriously and to, to kind of hunker down a little more into that spirit of being a child of God.
Absolutely. And for those who are wondering, what are some steps to take? I mean, for me, I think, one, the more we can receive communion in a state of grace, that is letting God transform us into kids, maybe like a Benjamin Button type moment. Wait, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He got younger as he got older looking. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not the best example. But and then adoration. What would you say to people who are interested in cultivating more of that childlike disposition, Father?
Yeah, what you say there about prayer. And prayer is an act of humility. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the answer to my needs or anything like that. I need God, but to then begin to have in adoration, to learn how to have prayer of gratitude and praise.
That's
prayer
beautiful.
Of gratitude and praise, and that is like means. Well, what actually get done? What you accomplish? What you accomplish is by like you acknowledge that God is God. And he's just worthy of praise.
Mm.
And is there anything I'm accomplishing? Yeah, everything. Because that's what heaven's going to be about. Like, oh, that's going to be boring. No, it's not going to be boring.
Mm-mm.
It's, and then the practice gratitude. And that helps one to be a child, a generous child, not a selfish child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, a kid gets all these gifts. He doesn't say thank you. Well, You know, we got to say thank you, and we got to keep doing that and keep saying it. No one gets tired of hearing the words, hey, thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Allison.
Hmm.
I mean, you like hearing that. God never tires of hearing, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Well said, Father. That is amazing. And maybe it's a call to create a gratitude list.
Yes,
and
or a journal. Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, pastor of St. Brendan the Navigator, for another stirring gospel reflection.
God bless you guys.
Thanks, Father.
Thank you.
The Morning Quest traffic.
On the downtown connector, there is an accident. The right lane is blocked at 7585 northbound at Edgewood Avenue, exit 248B. Also, Fulton County, Atlanta, accident. Right shoulder is blocked at I-285 northbound at Martin Luther King Drive, exit 9. In Sandy Springs, there is an accident reported at I-285 westbound at Roswell Road, exit 25. And Brookwood, accident. Left shoulder is blocked at I-85 southbound before I-75 north, exit 85. I'm Allison DeLuca, West Atlanta traffic.
Still to come on the Morning Quest.
Glenda Dyson discusses the six needs of grieving. Our scripture verse for the week is, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him."
It's back to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
If you'd like to comment on something you've heard in the Morning Quest or make a suggestion, send us an email to themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com. What is this?
Yeah, you can send a complaint too, but send that to Allison, not me.
Allison@thequestatlanta.com.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by the great Eric Alexander, music director at St. Brendan the Navigator, discussing Messiah Sing, an Advent sing-along taking place December 5th, 7:30 p.m. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? Well, I know you're doing well. Look at those smiles.
Look at these smiles.
At this early morning. That's amazing. This time of the morning.
Hallelujah. Even with rain, too. You're so smiling.
Even with rain. That's right.
So, Eric, for listeners who may not be familiar, what exactly is Messiah Sing? And how does this event differ from a typical concert performance of Handel's Messiah?
Well, it's a tradition. A Messiah Sing, a sing-along, is a tradition that they have at Christmas time where the people get to sing along. Uh-huh. We actually have scores, vocal scores that we sell, and a lot of people come that have sung it before, like at school or whatever. Hmm. So when you come, the congregation's really boisterous. It's loud.
Oh.
Yeah, because everybody's singing.
Yeah.
And they all think they're opera stars, and it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to the big one at the end. And I think what ours makes ours much different than other ones is that we try to keep it completely within the season of Advent.
Oh,
we are preparing our hearts for the
nice.
Coming of Christ. So there's no Christmas carols, no Joy to the World, no Mi Burrito Sabanero. We don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all Advent carols, Creator of the Stars of Night, at the second half. And we do the prophetic portion of the Messiah. It's in three parts. And Father Michael over at St. Brendan's, he says, "Why don't we just do the whole thing? Why don't you just do it?" Well, it's 3.5 hours.
That's a little long.
Like, let's
concert
start.
Concert starts, lock the doors.
you'd have to, because they'd be clawing to get out by the time, even before the Hallelujah chorus. So it's the first part, the prophetic portion. And so people, we want to say it's kind of a meditative thing where you're thinking about these prophecies that have all come true about Christ, and it's that makes it a little different, I think, than other Messiah sings.
I think it's important too, because I mean, how often do we really reflect on those things? We don't. It's like Advent goes fast, and then boom, or we're already thinking of Christmas songs.
Oh, that's
right?
After Thanksgiving, all of a sudden, the reason we started this was because I was a little upset getting off of a Christmas gig, a midnight gig. And I was all ready for Christmas music. You know, it was 25th and everything. So I turn on the radio looking for Christmas music, and there is no Christmas music. They've already stopped it on another Christian radio station, which we won't mention, but it didn't have any Christmas music. And I was like, what is that
it
all about?
It just started.
What happened
Christ
to Advent?
Born.
And then we have our pageants and everything all during Advent.
Yes.
So being ornery and contrary, I just said, okay, I'm going to swim up against the stream here and we'll do an Advent sing-along. And it was really well received. The first time we did it was really bare bones.
Yeah.
We had Albert Ahlstrom from Holy Spirit, who really held
brilliant.
Us up. Oh, unbelievable. What a treasure that guy is. And then two flute players. I think that's all we had. Wow. You know, it's totally bare bones. But everybody, and a bassoonist. I'm sorry, we had two flutes and a bassoon and the organ, and everybody had a great time. So we did it the next year, and then I found the money from the Musicians Performance Trust Fund to have it again, which we have it this year. And then this year we have the 22-piece orchestra.
That's amazing.
So it's going to be, yeah, it'll
an
be
experience.
A very, very special event, a very special experience. Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I thought you were going to say what makes it different, and I was going to hope you were going to go, we take requests. Just leave a tip jar out front.
Yeah, sadly, the request would be, could you guys stop playing now? I've heard enough glass music.
Well, speaking of requests, I don't know if this is a request of the people, but you're going all out, man. You're featuring a 22-piece mm-hmm. professional orchestra and soloists with experience from the Atlanta Symphony and the Atlanta Opera. What? Are you serious? That's amazing. So what can attendees expect from this kind of immersive musical experience?
Well, it's going to be a professional. I mean, that's kind of weird to say professional, but it's going to be real. I mean, you know, yeah. They're going to come in there and it's not going to... I mean, I love going to Christmas concerts. St. John Bosco does a great you know, choral concert. Leanne gets all those people, Leanne Warren over there.
Yeah.
She gets all these kids up there. And they are singing their hearts out. They are all in it, and it's awesome. But in this case, this is a professional orchestra. It's going to sound great. You know, it's going to. These guys have all played this thing a million times, and it'll be my job to try to get them to make this one special this year. And they're great people. They're friends I've worked with for a long time, and you know, that'll make it very special. When you go there, you're going to be going like, oh yeah, this is the real
deal.
It's
amazing, man.
So yeah, it'll be great. Well, now and then, let me also tout our soloists. We have these world-class soloists.
Really?
To a person, they could sing anywhere in the world. Kind of leading it off, I have to mention Maria McDonald, who's over at Christ the Redeemer. Uh-huh. She's also a professor at Georgia State. And
they're in your group.
That's right. There's four soloists. There's a soprano, alto, tenor, bass. They all get soloed within the whole thing.
So these aren't contracted performers. You have these world class performers as a part of your choir.
No, they're contracted.
Okay,
they are they're friends, but they're contracted. Maria, she's the music director at the Christ the Redeemer. My wife Nyla Alexander,
yes.
She's from St. Michael the Archangel, kind of my cohort. The three of us together. Well, and then Albert too. We're all sort of four together on this. But then Henry Brent, our baritone soloist, sang over at St. Thomas Aquinas for the first one.
Wow.
And then Maria will sing, Maria McDonald, she'll sing the alto part, and she just floors them every time. People cannot believe all that sound can come out of one person.
Wow.
Absolutely magnificent.
That sounds amazing. So how does a communal sing-along like this help deepen both spiritual preparation for Advent and community connection? Because you think about it, when you're all singing together, it must do something special.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what the Vatican says, right? Our job as music directors is to get the congregation to sing.
Yeah.
It's not a performance. And I try to take that idea of the Mass not being a performance into this, saying this is not a performance either. We're going to repose the Blessed Sacrament, and then so everybody kind of, there could be people there who just want to sing, and they're going to go like, what's going on there with the Catholics and everything? So that'll be a moment where we say this is special, this is a sacred space, and we're just borrowing it for a time to do this, and we are seriously liturgical about what we're doing there. These are prophecies that were actually spoken by Elijah himself and set to music, so it's supposed to emotionally intensify the whole deal. Like when you get to the part about the people walk in darkness, which everybody says is too long, but I think it's a great moment to kind of just close your eyes, and you can just feel in the music the people just walking in darkness, the people who walk, and it goes on and on. The orchestra does it, and then he does it. We're all walking in darkness for about 4 minutes.
Yes.
And then have seen a great light, and the music all of a sudden turns, and you can hear the major chord come in, and you can feel the light happening.
Wow.
Handel, I can't say enough things about Handel. He's an absolute, an amazing genius. And this work is basically like the Pietà of Michelangelo, but in music. It's an absolute monument of Western civilization. And so we can't all go see the Pietà, you know, but we can go hear Handel's Messiah and hear it live, which is a completely different experience than hearing it on record. And it's going to go to your soul. It's going to go straight through. It's going to break down those hard hearts and break break those intellectual walls and just put the spirit of these prophecies straight into the person's soul.
Wow. So where can we get more information about this event taking place Friday?
Well, you could go to our website, stbrendanthenavigator.com. I think that's wrong. It's stbrendansatl.com is where that is. Or you could just kind of look it up. There's an ad in the Georgia Bulletin, and I don't know my phone number at work, so I can't give it to you. But
it's on the Quest calendar as well. It's our events calendar.
Thank you all. Appreciate that. Yeah, you guys are so good to us.
Thank you so much, Eric Alexander, music director at St. Brendan the Navigator. Be sure to check out Messiah Sing Advent Sing Along, taking place December 5th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Brendan the Navigator. It's going to be absolutely outstanding with a 22-piece orchestra. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you for having me.
From the Catholic News Agency, Pope Leo's pilgrimage to Lebanon took a deeply spiritual turn on Monday as he entrusted the country and the entire Middle East to the intercession of Saint Charbel. Traveling to the hilltop monastery of Saint Moran in Anaya, the Holy Father prayed in silence at the tomb of the beloved hermit, known to many Christians and Muslims alike as the Heavenly Physician. The Pope reflected on Saint Charbel's powerful example, saying, "This saint teaches a noisy world how to be silent, a proud world how to be humble, and a restless world how to pray."
Saint Charbel, pray for us.
Amen.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Linda Dyson discusses the six needs of grieving. Hey, remember our memory verse, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him." That's Lamentations 3:25. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Amandus.
The Morning Quest continues on AM 1160, The Quest.
The Quest has a lot of great locally produced shows, but only one studio to record in. We really need another recording studio. So in order to get another studio that's acoustically treated, video cameras and everything needed, it takes finances. So Giving Tuesday is today, December 2nd. If you would like to help us get a new studio, just go to igivecatholic.org and search Quest Atlanta. Thank you in advance for your generosity.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Who's on the agenda, Chuck?
Good morning, Josh. Well, you know, every year on the first Friday of December, and I have to laugh at that designation because it's almost like they want to tie some spiritual or religious connotation to it. You know, we celebrate First Friday and First Saturday in the Catholic Church. But I think that would be a stretch in light of the fact that on the first Friday of December, in the secular world anyway, we celebrate National Bartender Day. Now, I will say this about our bartenders, of which I was once one. They probably hear more confessions than our priests.
Yeah,
you know, I always found it humorous that so many people say, "Oh, I'm too embarrassed to go to confession," yet they walk into their favorite gin mill on a Thursday night, approach the buddy, the bartender, and they say, "You won't believe what I did yesterday."
Wow.
You know, and they go off with their story. Maybe it just takes them a shot or a pint to loosen up. I don't know. But I do remember that when I was a bartender, I heard many confessions.
Okay.
Did not offer absolution, did not have that authority, of course, but I was always willing to listen and quick to offer what was probably some very ill-advised advice. But it did get me to wondering who the patron saint of bartenders was. I knew there had to be one, and boy, did I stumble upon a very interesting saint in Saint Amandus.
Really?
Saint Amandus, also known as Saint Amand, was one of the great apostles of Flanders, which is the northern Dutch-speaking region of Belgium. And to our listeners, if that sounds familiar, we paid a visit to Flanders just yesterday during the discussion of Saint Eligius. Interesting that these men, as I look at their lives and when they lived, they probably intersected. Amandus was born near Nantes in France around the end of the 6th century. Hagiographers reckon he was born maybe around the year 584. It is believed that he might have been born into nobility, but at the very least, his family was rather affluent. When he was 20 years old, he fled from his home and became a monk near Tours, much to the chagrin of his father. In fact, his father threatened to take away his inheritance, to which he was said to have cheerfully replied, and I love this answer, he said, "Christ is my only inheritance."
Wow.
Following what he regarded as divine inspiration, he made a pilgrimage to Bourges, where under the direction of the future Saint Austragesilius, who was the Bishop of Bourges at the time, he remained in solitude for 15 years.
Oh my goodness.
Living in a cell and subsisting on bread and water. After a pilgrimage to Rome, he was eventually consecrated in France as a missionary bishop at the age of 33. At the request of King Clotaire II, he began to evangelize the inhabitants of Ghent, who were then degraded idolaters, really, and afterwards extended his work throughout all of Flanders, suffering persecution, undergoing great hardship, but achieving nothing. And it wasn't until the miracle of restoring the life of a criminal who had been hanged, Josh, he changed the feelings of the people to reverence and affection and brought many converts to the faith. So here we have an honest-to-goodness miracle of a man who was hanged in the town square, and a man just brought him back to life.
You know, it's also his bravado, his courage is just second to none. I mean, he's preaching to barbarian tribes who are practicing pagan rituals.
Right.
I mean, that's putting your life on the line.
It really is. We know that from the North American martyrs, with St. Isaac Jogues and them, and so many others.
Yeah.
So many others. The Vietnamese martyrs who we just discussed a few days ago. Mm. But monasteries at Ghent and Mount Blandin were erected under his watch. They were the first monuments to the faith in Belgium. So here we're starting to see the faith take root and grow in Belgium, thanks to this man and his partners in faith. Returning to France in the year 630, he ran into trouble with King Dangelbert, who he had endeavored to recall from a sinful life. Kings don't like being told that they're not living a life that's going to bring them to eternal life, and was expelled from the kingdom. Dagobert afterwards entreated him to return. I guess he had some time to think about this, and that's what we do, right? We try and plant seeds for those who aren't ready to come into the faith, but he asked pardon for the wrong done and requested him to be tutor of the heir of the throne. The danger of living at court prompted the saint to refuse the honor, however. His next apostolate was among the Slavs of the Danube, but he met with no success. Once again, this was a man who took a lot of swings, and there were some swings and misses along the way, as many of our brave saints and evangelical leaders will do. He went to Rome to report to the Pope the lack of results. It was Pope Martin I at the time. While returning to France, he is said to have calmed a storm at sea, another miracle attributed to him. He was made Bishop of Maastricht around the year 649. Amandus was also commissioned to convoke councils in Neustria and Austrasia in order to have the decrees which he had been passed at Rome read to the bishops of Gaul, who in turn commissioned him to bear the acts of their consul to the sovereign pontiff. 30 years before he had gone into the Basque County to preach, but had met with little success, he was now requested by the inhabitants to return, and although 70 years old, he undertook the work of evangelizing them and appears to have banished idolatry from the land. So here we see some success for this tireless, ever optimistic man. Returning again to his country, he founded several monasteries. On one occasion, at the risk of his life, Belgium especially boasts many of his foundations. Dagobert made great concessions to him for his various establishments. So here we see he was able to resurrect and salvage that relationship for the good of the faith. He died in his monastery of El Nan at the age of 90, and his feast day is on the 6th day of February. So there we have Saint Amandus, another amazing man that I certainly didn't know much about until I went on into researching him. We, you know, during the early days of Advent, there aren't saints assigned to these first couple days. So we're having a little bit of fun with this and trying to get acquainted with some of the saints that perhaps our listeners aren't that familiar with. But have no fear, there are some saints coming up over the next few days that you will probably be quite familiar with, and hopefully we'll be able to expand your intellectual knowledge of them.
Well, and two things that really hit me. One, you said he emerges at 33 to become a bishop. Is that correct?
A missionary bishop, yes.
So he is at 18 years old, what people may consider the golden years of their life, he was secluded to give complete reverence and devotion to the Lord.
Yeah. He was being formed, being formed for something greater.
Yeah. Isn't that a message for our own lives too, when we think God's not working fast enough? Perhaps he's getting us ready.
Yeah, that might be our takeaway today too. You know, this is a very, very patient man.
Gosh,
he encountered roadblocks in so many ways, but he never gave up. And to your point, you know, 15 years in the monastery, some of us can't find 15 minutes for Eucharistic adoration.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point.
It's a situation where patience perseverance. These are trademark qualities of all the saints, really.
Absolutely.
Bravery. You hit on his bravery early. Brave man.
And some of his, I believe several of his monasteries still exist in some form, although none remain exactly as they were in the 600s. But I think like Abbey of St. Amand, this was his most famous foundation. Today, the town is literally named St. Amand-les-Eaux. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay.
You did. And he is also known as St. Amand, St. Amandis, St. Amand. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So I believe the original abbey's buildings were mostly destroyed over the centuries, especially the French Revolution, but the site is still active as a cultural and religious landmark.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
Love when these saints leave these basilicas and churches and that for us so that we can go into them, worship and praise, and also remember them as we see their names across the top.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. And he's just one of these guys that leaves what he's doing to go to something harder.
Yeah. Yep. And let's remember now, he was born into wealth and affluence, perhaps even nobility, but he shunned all of that to follow the Lord.
Gosh.
Once again, he said, Christ is my only inheritance. So he was playing a long game. He had eternity on his mind, right? We always talk about that.
Yeah.
Everything that we build up here is left behind, and all that as eternal life awaits. Are we building that kingdom now, or are we building our kingdom here on earth?
Yeah. Well, we can certainly use the prayers of the faithful to reach that destination, that final destination. So, with that in mind,
St. Amandis,
pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
You know, it's a special season. Advent.
Yes, it is.
Has begun starting November 30th. And I want to give a little breakdown on the symbolism of the candles and the wreath, all that good stuff.
Oh,
so,
please.
Yeah, so the wreath is typically made of evergreen branch. And by the way, this is courtesy of Church Pop. The wreath is typically made of evergreen branches and formed in a circle symbolizing eternity. God has no beginning or end. The green color represents hope, life, and the grace Christ brings into a world that's longing for him. Holds four candles, as we all know.
Uh-huh.
One for each week of Advent, three purple, one pink. Purple candles represent prayer, penance, and preparation. And Advent was once known as a little Lent, which is why the color of repentance is used.
Ooh,
interesting stuff, right?
A little Lent. I like
yep.
that.
And then like Lent prepares us for Easter, Advent prepares us for Christ's birth. And in the first 2 weeks, points our hearts to his second coming. The pink candle is lit on the third Sunday of Advent, known as Gaudete Sunday, which means, Gaudete means rejoice, because good news, we're halfway to Christmas. And the priest also wears rose vestments that day. And the light of the candles reminds us that Christ is the light of the world breaking into the darkness.
No, that's beautiful. And at Mass on Sunday, I do believe it was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. Father, he was talking about how it's the beginning of a new year, mm-hmm. right? And it's so interesting to hear that, because we think of January 1st, new year, but church year, right?
Yeah.
Now we're starting at the beginning, Advent, mm-hmm. preparing for Christ. So it's so cool just hearing that.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that Advent wreath invites us to slow down, pray, and prepare our hearts for Jesus, both at Christmas and his promised return.
Coming up on The Morning Quest,
Linda Dyson gives us a powerful word on the six needs of grieving. That's coming up next.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by, oh, wait, huh? Oh, you
look at that look. You know, when I give you that look, something's going on.
What's going on?
Well,
are we supposed to do a promo?
Well, Well, today is I Give Catholic, December the 2nd.
Ooh, yes.
And you know that we're working on our second studio.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the importance of having cameras and different types of equipment.
It is so important. Hey, we're trying to get into the 21st, 22nd century over here, all right? And if you've ever been to big family and there's only one bathroom, it can get a little contentious, right?
It's true. I mean, I'm one of four girls. We only had one bathroom for us girls growing up, so I understand. Yes.
So we only have one studio here at The Quest, and it's tough. Like, I want to do an interview with this amazing priest, but they're recording another show
yes.
in here.
And it's a blessing we have all these shows. But again, we're definitely working on that second studio.
So we're working on a second studio, and we're really rigging it up so it can have maximum impact, not just on radio terrestrially, but leave an online digital thumbprint with cameras, things like that. So, hey, consider joining the mission, helping us spread God's goodness worldwide. How do they support?
Well, if they would like to help us get a new studio, just go to igivecatholic.org and search Quest Atlanta. And thank you so much in advance for your generosity.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest.
We're joined by Pastoral Associate Linda Dyson from Christ the King, discussing the six needs of grieving. How are you, Linda?
Great.
Ooh, say that
time.
Again.
Hey.
There you are.
This is Linda. I am live. Mike's live. I'm live.
You
are.
We're
talking about grief.
No, I know. And Linda, you often talk about the silent weight of grief, you know. So what does that mean? And why is it so important to understand? Because it needs to be understood.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. On the way in, I was thinking, because the spelling that we had for weight was W-E-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
But I was also thinking during Advent, it's also W-A-I-T.
Yes.
So when we talk about the silent weight of grief, it is that aspect of what we're experiencing that can't be expressed with the language that we have at our disposal.
Yeah.
Grief can be so many different things. It could be that kind of grief that we carry that we don't even realize that we're carrying, because oftentimes we're thinking, oh, it's about a death, and that's all it is. But when you feel and you experience a sense of fatigue, a little mental fogginess, emotional numbness, or that sense that just something's off, it's a time for you to think about, well, you know, what am I really experiencing? Is there something that's layered in my emotions that I don't realize is there? Something I haven't named yet, something that I realize has shifted or changed in my life?
Yeah.
You know, again, it could be a death, it could be a divorce, it could be a loss of a job, it could be a health issue, it could be any of those things, just any of those transitions that perhaps we just don't want and didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that silence that I'm talking about, that thing that's not easy to express and maybe not even seen in me.
And a lot of people think, Linda, of grief after somebody dies, but why do losses like divorce, job changes, or you know, things like that often go unrecognized?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, it's so accepted in society to talk about death and to really equate that sadness, that depression, that inability to really move forward with a death. However, with those things like divorce, I think we've talked about this before, sometimes there's so much shame, so much guilt in divorce that there's not that place to be able to just talk about it openly without feeling as though it's some sort of indictment on your heart, or even an expression of knowing that maybe I've even moved from that loss, moved from that separation, that relationship. But yet we're still deeply, deeply affected. Our identity is shifted.
Yeah.
It's sometimes rocked.
Oh, yes.
And things become destabilized. So we just often minimize these other things, and it's not bad. It's just that our heart is still feeling the loss. We just don't have a way of expressing it.
No, absolutely. And being a divorced woman, I mean, it is. It's hard, because when I went into marriage, I mean, it wasn't even the question of what if it doesn't work out. It was until death do us part. So, and even now, as my kids are getting older, I mean, as I see other families, you know, intact with, you know, husband and wife and all the kids are growing up, it really, I mean, there is a sense of sadness sometimes, right? Like, why, Lord? Why did this happen to me? Why can we not have that intact family like these other folks do? So, I mean, gosh, it's been a long time since the divorce is finalized, but I mean, it is, it's hard. So these are realistic things that we do go through.
Can I jump in on that?
Sure,
because,
please.
You know, one of the things that I think with all kinds of grief, the question why comes up.
Yeah.
And I want to really caution that we should look for the how or, or the what or really what is God calling us to?
Yeah.
And in this transition and this change.
Yeah. Not why.
Not the why. Not
but
the why.
How? Because he knows it all. He sees it all.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So instead of saying why, making you feel worse and worse and worse. Okay, Lord, here I am. How can I do this? How can I serve? How can I move on?
Absolutely.
Well, beautiful said. Words. Absolutely. Beautiful words.
So powerful.
So is there value in understanding, you know, your own timeline in grief?
Oh, absolutely. And it kind of extends the previous conversation. Sometimes we don't even realize that we have gone through so much grief in our lives.
Yeah.
When we don't know how to name it. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to me right now, if you're not driving, to get a pen and write down maybe the top 10 or 20 losses that you've had in your life, just to recognize them, to realize that the timeline of grief is not linear, that you're understanding where you are through the shock, the sadness, the transitions, the reflections, and even the integration of the loss, and finding God in that loss. It reduces the amount of self-judgment. It reduces the expectations that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
When we understand exactly what we've been through, and somewhat like Advent, being aware of our own timeline, being patient. I think I heard that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Josh's words.
Yes.
But it's a time to be patient in Advent. It's also a time to think about how can I return to my faith?
Yeah.
How can I bring the Lord a little closer to me so that he can help me to grow through it and encourage me to be wider, more expanded, and reaching out in that grief.
And I love how you were saying write things down, because how I know for myself, so many things are going on, whether it's tasks I need to do or just activities I need to do. And when I write them down, it kind of gets them out of my head and I can analyze it, and it kind of brings peace and calming. So, just thinking of all the grief we've been through, getting it out of our head or even pondering, getting it on paper, I think there's kind of a process of relief just getting it down there where you can see it, it's out of your head, you know, and you can see it there on the paper.
Absolutely. And the reason why I encourage this deeply is that oftentimes we can be in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's 9 o'clock at night and we forget that there's a sun.
Yes.
The sun exists.
Yes.
It's just dark.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. You know, we don't see the stars in the sky when it's sunny outside. But you know what? That's how the Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is constant. No matter what's happening in their life, no matter what's on that timeline, the white space behind that timeline is the Lord. He's always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's constant. Nothing's changing, even though our life might be fluctuating.
Yeah.
It's an invitation to return back to him and to lean on him when things are hard.
I love that. Love that.
Such wise words, Linda. And in your pastoral work, what hidden griefs do you see most often?
Oh, my. They range from so many things. We have caregivers who have cared for family members for so long and then eventually lose them. That person who's in grief because of the death doesn't realize that they've already been grieving for years, possibly through that caregiving experience. Of course, we have divorce. Of course, we have relationships breaking and maybe coming back together and breaking again.
Yeah.
You have heartbreak with children.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that they do to send us to the moon.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So all those things, we have to recognize those are sources of grief. They're sources of deep emotional hurt and pain and bewilderment sometimes. And we can feel as though as we're waiting for these griefs to subside, you know, almost like Advent, we can create a time for us to acknowledge all these wide ranges of how we experience those loss and those traumas and deaths too. To be able to create a fertile ground for the Lord to come back in.
Yeah.
It's powerful. That is so powerful. So Linda, for those listening, carrying this silent weight we're talking about, what hope would you leave them with this morning?
Sure. Yeah, I would hope deeply that you would find people who you trust, that you can share your loss, your sadness, your depression, your shock with, because in our grief, we have to realize it can become a time of forming. Mm-hmm. And if we're able to have that that emotion acknowledged and witnessed, it can be a place where you can see the Lord and he's saying to you, come to me through that other person.
Yeah.
All who are wearied and burdened, I will give you rest.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful
words. Thank you so much, Linda Dyson, Pastoral Associate at Christ the King Cathedral, for this amazing message, educating us on the six needs of grieving. We are so blessed.
And truly, you know what? And if somebody wants to learn more about pastoral ministry in Christ the King or other parishes, where would they go?
Yeah, grief ministry especially.
Grief ministry. Oh, sure. You can absolutely reach out to us at the Cathedral of Christ the King. My email address, I know I dare to do this, ldyson@ctking.com, or you can just reach out to us at the Cathedral.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord for all your incredible service. Let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.